Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. Another hour of the Bill Michaels Show here on a Friday. Hopefully you guys are getting through it. A three-day weekend ahead with Memorial Day. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola in for Bill. He'll be back on Tuesday. Also doing a fine job other side of the glass. Producer extraordinaire Evan Heffelfinger, our good buddy Evan Heffelfinger, doing a fine job. A lot to get to in this hour, and this hour is going to be more of complaining for me. Because there's some things that are grinding my gears. Before I do that, though, some sad news today in the NBA world. Jerry Sloan, the legendary head coach for the Utah Jazz, who coached John Stockton and Karl Malone and that Jazz team who went up against Michael Jordan and the Bulls, those back-to-back NBA championships, he's passed away today. He was 78 years old. I didn't realize this, but he was battling Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia. Really sad. Losing an NBA great like Jerry Sloan, 78 today. So again, you know, thoughts and prayers to his family, and of course to the Utah Jazz as well. And really ironically that his passing is just a week after the final episode of The Last Dance, and he was featured quite a bit in that last episode. But just some sad news today in the NBA world. We are going to stick with the NBA. Before we do, coming up at the bottom of the hour, I have an issue with a recent ranking. And it involves college football head coaches. And this ranking might be one of the dumbest rankings I've ever seen. We'll get to that coming up. But first, I want to read you some headlines that I have seen in the last 2 weeks regarding the MVP of the league, Giannis Antetokounmpo. These headlines, I'm sure you guys saw them. If you're on social media enough, or if you just go on your phones every now and again to look at whatever sports news there is, because believe me, we're trying to look for any kind of sports news right now as we continue to live in these fluid days. I want to read you three headlines that I've seen regarding Giannis, the superstar for your Milwaukee Bucks. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle. How NBA shutdown helps Warriors' chances of landing Giannis Antetokounmpo. Again, this isn't from some blogger website. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle by one of their top beat writers. Here's another headline. Warriors have been preparing a run at Giannis Antetokounmpo, in quotations, 4 years. That was in FanSided. Okay. Here's headline number three. This was yesterday. Antetokounmpo clip shows why Warriors fans have the right to covet him. It was from NBC Sports. Now, I understand that it is fun to dream. We do it sometimes on this show. We hear a rumor, something floating around about a name that could be connected to the Green Bay Packers or the Milwaukee Brewers or, heck, the Milwaukee Bucks. we love to have conversations about that because it is very thought-provoking. You think about how that player would fit on paper with the roster that's currently designed, and then you think about how that's going to fit on the field or on the court. We like to do those speculative things. That's part of sports talk radio. That's what makes us fun. That's what makes us entertaining. And we thank you guys for listening every day to us. But sometimes it gets to be overkill. And these headlines about Golden State trying to lure Giannis away from Milwaukee are just, it's all malarkey. It's all ridiculous crap. It's not going to happen. You know, I understand that a lot of times in this state, when we talk about our favorite teams, we get burned. You know, you think about all the chances, and I don't need to really remind anyone, but all the chances that our teams have had the chance to win a title in the last 10 years, all the letdowns. I think there's some fans in this state, regardless of who they're supporting, that they're always going to have a pessimistic view about their team. And then there's also going to be the exact opposite. You're going to have a lot of optimistic homers who, if you say anything bad about your teams and what they're doing, they are just going to rip you because everything they have in their apartment or in their house is all Packer gear. And it's just, how dare you talk about this team? But I think from a more pessimistic standpoint, especially since the Milwaukee Bucks have been burned now for the last three decades. I mean, last hour I was talking about the Packers and how much you know, people like Evan and myself who are young and have experienced nothing but greatness from two quarterbacks for our entire lifetime. It's been the exact opposite with the Milwaukee Bucks. We've been living through so much misery with the Bucks that something's got to give at some point. So it gets more and more annoying when you see other big publications out there, when you see ESPN or Fox Sports talking about Giannis going to another team and not taking that Supermax deal. It frustrates us because, yeah, they want to talk about and dream about what Giannis would be like on a Warriors team with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. But I'm here to tell you guys, I ain't worried. Not worried at all. Not in the slightest. This NBA absence that, you know, again, the news changes every day. We know this. We know that the NBA is trying to do something at Disney World where they're going to try and play all their games. Mark Lazary, the Bucks co-owner, was on CNBC yesterday, and he still believes that you might have the West in Las Vegas and the East playing in Orlando coming up later this summer. There was another report that the NBA is trying to shoot for late July to play. All I know is this. This long-term absence is a good thing for Giannis and his chances of staying. Now, I'll get through the whole Supermax thing in a second, but the fact that there is no basketball right now helps the fact that Giannis would not want to leave this team. Giannis, as we all know, is one of the most humble superstars in the NBA. And we talk about an NBA that's full of egos. Everyone's got an ego. Everyone's got to be out for themselves. Everyone's got to do what's best for them. Giannis has not changed. Remember when this kid was drafted, how humble he was, and coming from the background that he did in poverty in Greece and constantly on the streets every single day selling those trinkets and playing for a second division basketball team where he wasn't getting paid hardly anything. And all the work Giannis put into this. One of the fears I had once Giannis started to ascend as a player for the Milwaukee Bucks was, you know, we see this kid as humble as he is and loving this city, but would the fame and fortune start to go to his head? Would he change who he is? And the fact of the matter is, Giannis has now been in the league for a few years. He's the reigning MVP, and he hasn't changed. Giannis has not changed in the slightest. And then add to it, he's a father now. And so now he has all those responsibilities. He's been able to spend a lot of time with his son, which is awesome. But it doesn't jive with me that Giannis would all of a sudden say, you know what? Let's say there's not an NBA season. Let's say Adam Silver decides to cancel it. You mean to tell me Giannis would say, you know what? I'm not going to come back to Milwaukee. I'm going to go play for a super team. I'm going to go to Golden State, for example, and try to win with Steph Curry. Here's why it doesn't make sense. You know how many of his teammates he'd be letting down? He has developed such a bond with everybody in that locker room. He would let all those dudes down if the NBA season got canceled because there would be unfinished business and it would never be finished. You would leave Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, Brooke Lopez, George Hill. You would leave all of these guys in the dust for a kid that's as humble as he is? He ain't doing that. This guy is so close to his teammates. I want to read you a couple of quotes from Giannis. This was back December 19th of 2018. In an interview with Howard Beck of the Bleacher Report, Giannis said this, quote, "You don't have to have a lot of stars. I definitely think that because I think we have great pieces in this team and every guy in this team knows what his role is and is having fun and is enjoying his role. And that comes from the coach." Again, he's talking about Mike Budenholzer here. "You know, if the coach gives you confidence, gives you the green light, and tells you what your role is, and you accept it as a player, and you're happy with it, that's big for every team. I don't think anybody on this team wants to do more, wants to do less." That was Giannis in an interview with Howard Beck, talking about the fact that you don't need to have all these star players to win a championship. In another piece with our Milwaukee basketball insider, Eric Name, writing for The Athletic, he was invited to play a little pickup ball in New York alongside players like Kevin Durant, LeBron, Carmelo Anthony, James Harden. That's a group. But Giannis politely declined the invitation. Quote, "They wanted me to come, show up, and play, and I was like, no, I'm good. Thank you. I can't work out with you in the summer and then play you in a few months," he added. "It feels weird. It doesn't feel right with me. Like other players, it's cool for other players, but I don't want to. Other guys do it." That was a big quote. A lot of people remember that. He didn't want to share his tricks and trades with these guys. That's how competitive Giannis was. The only guy he really wanted to work for in the offseason was work with Kobe Bryant. He wanted to learn from the best. Kobe was removed from the game. I think Giannis's way of winning a championship is with a team that simply has good chemistry and is led by a good coach. I don't think Giannis wants to spend any time trying to win with other superstars. This is something he wants to do on his own. I just don't think in any way, shape, or form Giannis would ever leave here. And he has the opportunity on July 15th to sign that Supermax. Now, that deadline might change because we're not going to have an NBA offseason. If basketball does come back, they're going to be playing in July. So I think that whole thing will be extended. It's going to be a lot of things that change, including what the salary cap could look like for the NBA after all this. But I just can't sit here and say to myself that Giannis would leave here. And I think the fact that we don't have an NBA right now helps that. Because he's got something to prove. And he's got something to prove with a group of guys that worship him and love him and will listen to him. And he is slowly turning into that leader on that team. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time. But Giannis is getting there. 855-830-8648. Asking you guys, does the NBA's absence help or hurt Giannis's chances of staying in Milwaukee? Honestly, I think it just helps it. I don't think there's any more fear to this than where it is. And I think, again, as we continue to read these stupid headlines that come out about Giannis trying to go to Golden State, at this point, it's clickbait. Just ignore it. Ignore it. Because I don't see it happening. We'll take your reaction coming up next. Radio Joe Zanzola, you're listening to The Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Pella Windows and Doors, a Wisconsin essential business. The special 555 offer continues at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You can schedule your appointment right now. You can do it in your home, and they'll be safe. You can be safe, too, virtually online, or the showroom is open. And on top of no interest for 5 years, no first payment for 5 months, you're going to get an extra 5% off of your order. Listen, if you've been looking out the windows and you're thinking to yourself, man, I need some new windows, I need a new patio door, they're hard to open, they're dirty, they're inefficient, or you just want to add value to your home, now is the time to do it. They follow the CDC guidelines, and think about this. Pella measures, manufactures, installs, assembles, and they back them with the best warranty in the business. Those are fantastic doors and windows. The 555, it continues, plus no interest for 5 years, 5% bonus savings, and no first payment for 5 months, all to approved credit, but only through May 30th. So set your appointment right now and save. Go to PellaWI.com. That is PellaWI.com.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, reminding you, if you do get out and about, drink responsibly, stay socially distant, but enjoy yourself. In the summer, as it starts to warm up, all brought to you by our good friends over there at Bud Light.
The Bill Michaels Show continues alongside Evan Heffelfinger. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola holding down the fort for the big units. 855-830-8648. Does the NBA's absence help or hurt Giannis's chances of staying here in Milwaukee? As far as I'm concerned, guys, Giannis ain't going anywhere. Jacob on the south side of Milwaukee, listening to us on The Fan. Jacob, thanks for holding. You're on the Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. This whole pandemic thing or quarantine thing, it hasn't changed my stance at all, whether Giannis is leaving or staying one way or the other. The deal is, number one, it's a clickbait society. We all know that. It's all about getting Twitter likes and getting people to read your articles. So the people that aren't really plugged into anything, they want to put this stuff out there. And number two, I think it's almost like the media trying to will this into existence. It reminds me a lot of, for years, the media tried to make LeBron to the Knicks happen, or not even just LeBron, but just any superstar to the Knicks, because somebody has to revive that franchise. So they want it to happen. I think they may even think that they made that happen as far as LeBron going to L.A., which in my eyes was always going to happen because LeBron, I mean, basketball's a side gig for him now. Everything's about his brand. Being in L.A., he wants to make movies. Giannis isn't that guy, so, I mean, I'm not worried about him at all. There's just too many reasons for him to stay. He said he wants to win. The Bucks have put a historically great team, at least statistically, around him, on pace to be, you know, have their best season ever, essentially. Besides that, he'd be turning down, I think, roughly, you know, almost $50 million to go and leave with potentially a team that could be worse anyways. He's comfortable here. He loves the city. He doesn't like big markets. He said that multiple times. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Unfortunately, because Giannis is so great and the society that we live in, it's just something that we're going to have to deal with until he signs on the dotted line.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it's funny to me too. Like, it's amazing how certain people, like, I think Cowherd was saying, like, you know, I really think this offseason he should sign with Golden State. Like, you can get to that level of notoriety and fame and just be so, like, not connected and, you know, not even check your facts, know that Giannis isn't even a free agent.
right.
And, you know, lastly, Golden State, if they were to want to sign Giannis, they would have to do just an insane amount of moves to make it happen cap space-wise. The only other thing I've seen is these weird, like, idiotic scenarios where, for some reason, the Bucks would take on Andrew Wiggins' disgusting contract. And
yeah, what the hell is that? Like, I saw one trade scenario where it was Wiggins and 3 ones for Giannis. The Bucks would never do that. They
yeah,
wouldn't.
Again, it reminds, or kind of what I said about they're trying to will this into existence. Like,
right.
the main theme of that article was like, well, the Bucks would have to do that because what other choice would they have? To me, I would rather, even if you're telling me Giannis is for sure leaving, give me that last year with him trying to win. I would take that over that crappy package that would, you know, put us back in purgatory forever. So if anything, we should take it as something, as a point of pride that everybody wants our prized possession. And, you know, I saw something on Twitter that said, like, once Giannis signs the Supermax, the Bucks fans are going to be insufferable on Twitter. And that's true, because we deserve it. So just deal with it for now. It'll all be over once he signs on the dotted line. Thanks.
Yep, definitely, Jacob. Thanks for the perspective. It's, you know, he mentioned $50 million that Giannis would leave on the table. It's actually $80 million. Now, again, this is all under the assumption that the salary cap kind of stays where it is, because, again, the NBA is losing money as we speak. And depending on how all this plays out as to whether or not, you know, we have playoffs, if the NBA season finishes, there's a lot of factors here, but that will affect future salary caps. And Giannis, unfortunately, will probably be losing some money because of it. How much of that? Don't know. But either way, if he leaves Milwaukee and doesn't take the Supermax, he's still going to be making far less. And right now, if everything held up, he would be leaving $80 million on the table. Now, I'm sorry, guys. How many of you would leave $80 million on the table? Who would take less to go elsewhere when you've got everything else made for you right here? It doesn't fit. The personality doesn't fit, and the attitude doesn't fit, and the money. It's not like you're going to make more money Golden State, for example. That's not how it works. I'll just tell you this. If for whatever reason Giannis doesn't sign on the dotted line this summer or this fall, whenever that deadline is, there will be some paranoia in this state. There will be. And then that conversation is going to be had. And I don't even want to go there. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Giannis signs on the dotted line, and I think he's a Milwaukee Buck for a long, long time. You can get in on this. You can tweet at Radio Joe Sports. You can also follow me there. Also, hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Just look for Bill Michaels in that blue check mark and like it. And everything we've talked about on today's show can be found there. Coming up in about 35 minutes or so, it's a Top 5 Friday. Speaking of contracts, what are the top 5 worst contracts in Wisconsin sports history? I've lived through a lot of bad deals between our three biggest sports. I have my top 5 list. Evan has his. I want to hear from you guys. We'll get to that coming up in a half hour. But coming up next, everyone has rankings. This might be one of the dumbest rankings I've ever seen. And you talk about disrespect to a head coach who's done a pretty tremendous job doing more with less. I'll talk about that coming up next. You're listening to The Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at the Four Seasons Island Resort and Pine Mountain Ski and Golf Resort as well. If you want to go up north and do some social distancing, that's where it was invented. The Four Seasons Island Resort is in Pembine, Wisconsin, or Pine Mountain Ski and Golf Resort in Iron Mountain, Michigan, home of the Timberstone Championship Golf Course. Both are absolutely beautiful. Go to TimberstoneGolfCourse.com. That's TimberstoneGolfCourse.com. Or TheFourSeasonsWI.com. That's TheFourSeasonsWI.com.
Oh, nothing like a little Billy Idol on a Friday. Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues. Radio Joe in for Bill. Big unit will be back on Tuesday. Went back to Ohio to go see his family. I know his dad isn't doing too well. Thinking about them. But he will be back on Tuesday's show live. And who knows what's going to happen between now and then. Hopefully we'll have some more clarity with Major League Baseball and the NBA. Evan Heffelfinger, other side of the glass, doing a fine job, as always, producing the show. So, 2 days ago, I'm going through Twitter, like I do all the time, and Bucky's Fifth Quarter, which is a really good Badger account, they tweeted out these rankings of the top 25 college football head coaches in the country. So, I went to go look at it, and I pulled it up, and it was from CBS Sports. Okay, so what I want to read you here, before I get to the rankings, I want to read you how the rankings were established. The guy that wrote the article is Tom Fornelli, and he's got a pretty good following on social media. So Fornelli wrote this. He says, as for how these rankings are decided, our crew of CBS Sports college football writers voted on them. Regarding the criteria used to rank the coaches, there is nothing specifically. Okay, so there's no criteria here. Fernelli goes on to say this is a highly subjective exercise based on what each voter believes makes a great coach. Winning record, recruiting chops, up-and-coming talent, leading to a wide range of results on some. Okay. So group of CBS college football writers put this together. What I find interesting is, before I tell you where Paul Christ is ranked, each coach that's listed here has then a take from Fornelli himself. There's nothing on here from the other college football writers who all voted on this, given their takes on where these guys should be ranked. Instead, this, I could tell you right now, was not unanimous. If this is a group of writers, I think they all have different rankings. But we see one specific ranking here with Tom Fornelli's takes on these rankings. This is very confusing. Now, typically when we see like mock drafts from multiple draft analysts, usually you see a board of who's taken who, and then there's explanations. Now, this is just one list with takes from one guy, and yet this was decided by a group of guys. Okay. Hope you're bearing with me there. So guess where Paul Christ is? Okay, remember, Paul Christ has done a phenomenal job turning this football program around since Gary Anderson left it in shambles. I mean, he was able to flip it and then was able to get so many good teams out of it, so many good defenses out of it, some really good running backs out of it. Paul Christ, after all the work he's done at the University of Wisconsin, is ranked 17th. Okay. I would have guessed top 10 easily, without debate. This is what Tom Fornelli wrote about Paul Christ. Quote, another special case, one in which you feel like he's never getting as much credit as he deserves for what he's done at Wisconsin, but at the same time, you guard yourself against giving him too much props. In the end, you get a deserved spot in the top 20, but not in the top 15, and that seems about right. He's 52-16 at Wisconsin and has won 3 division titles in 5 seasons, but you still don't get the sense his program is on the same tier as Ohio State. You aren't even sure you'd put it up there with Penn State. Until he breaks through with a conference title, it's hard to imagine he gets much higher than this. Last year's ranking, according to Fornelli, was 23rd. He moved up 6 spots. Let's just think about this for a second here. He's never going to recruit at the same level as Penn State and Ohio State. And I wish some people would grasp that. I think most of Badger Nation has understood that Paul Christ will always work at a disadvantage because the top players are never going to come to Wisconsin. They're always going to go to Ohio State before them. Also, keep in mind that Paul Christ has done a better job over the last couple of years recruiting even better recruiting classes. And again, hopefully Graham Mertz develops into that quarterback we're all hoping for. He states the record here, 52-16 with 3 division titles. Yeah, Wisconsin has owned the Big Ten West. Wisconsin has been the team to beat in the Big Ten West. So now let me go forward with this. Paul Christ is not in the top 15 minimum. Guess who he has in the top 15? He has 2 Big Ten coaches in the Big Ten West, not the East, the Big Ten West, who he thinks are better. Now, again, he says that this was a group of college football writers that put this list together, and yet Tom Fornelli is giving his take on each of these. I should be seeing takes from all these college football writers who had input on this. Something tells me this is Tom Fornelli's list and not this group. So guess who's ahead of Paul Christ at 15? This guy deserves to be in the top 15, apparently. PJ Fleck. Hey, Badger fans, do you think PJ Fleck should be ahead of Paul Christ? Guess who beat PJ Fleck in his own house back in the fall? It's Paul Christ. PJ Fleck took this team. Look, he did a phenomenal job this past year getting Minnesota back to prevalence. But when it came down to crunch time, he might have been able to beat Penn State. He wasn't able to beat teams like Iowa and then, of course, the Wisconsin Badgers. Who represented the Big Ten West last year? Wisconsin. Here's what he says about PJ Fleck. Our voters are rowing the boat. Of course. Fleck climbs 29 spots in the rankings this year, more than all but one coach. We'll get to him later. I had him at 23 on my ballot, so I think 15 might be a little too high, but it's not hard to understand. Okay, so now this is the first time he actually brings in the other voters into this. Still, given his take. Some will think this is an overreaction to an 11-win season at Minnesota, but it's not one season alone. It's an 11-win season in Minnesota after previously taking Western Michigan to a 13-win season and Cotton Bowl appearance. Okay, what guys, it's Western Michigan. He's now proven at both the Group 5 and Power 5 levels that he can build a program. What we find out now is if he knows how to maintain one. So apparently last year he was ranked 44 and he moved up 29 spots. But it's taken PJ Fleck. It didn't take overnight for him to get Minnesota back to prevalence. Took him a couple of seasons. And yet, he wants to have PJ Fleck, and these voters apparently want to have PJ Fleck ahead of Paul Christ. Don't get it. Guess who is one ahead of PJ Fleck in the Big Ten West? We're not talking about Ohio State or Penn State here, guys. Kirk Ferentz out of Iowa. Here's what is said. This is an argument for sustained excellence. Ferentz has been at Iowa for 21 seasons, and he's had consistent results. While he hasn't been able to maintain the pace that saw him with 31 games and two Big Ten titles from 2002 to 2004, he's proven that he can develop players. Iowa is rarely found at the top of recruiting rankings, yet somehow it's sending players to the NFL year after year. On one hand, I can't help but wonder how Ferentz might fare in these rankings if he was coaching at a school with more inherent advantages as far as his ability to recruit. On the other hand, I can't wrap my mind around seeing anybody who isn't Ferentz on the sidelines at Iowa. The man is the program. Tom Fornelli talking about Kirk Ferentz being ahead of PJ Fleck and also being ahead of Paul Christ. Now, no disrespect to Kirk Ferentz. I think he is a really good coach. In fact, you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Paul Christ. Like, I can see Paul Christ coaching this Badger football team for the next 20 years. Unless you want to see some crazy changes done to the football program, which I don't think should happen. They tried that with Gary Anderson and it didn't work. I think Paul Christ will be here for a long, long time. Now, Paul Christ hasn't been here 20 years like Kirk Ferentz has, but in the short term, to flip this program around, to win bowl game after bowl game. His first bowl game loss was in the Rose Bowl, a game that the Badgers probably should have won, shot themselves in the foot too many times. But to sit here and say that Kirk Ferentz should be ahead of Paul Christ is beating Kirk Ferentz every year. 4 out of the last 5 years, Paul Christ has been beating Kirk Ferentz. This list, going through it, is just, it is the biggest steaming hot garbage I have found in a while. The lack of respect that Paul Christ, how can he not be higher than this? How can he not be higher for what he's been able to accomplish compared to PJ Fleck and Kirk Ferentz? He's beating these guys. Total slap in the face. And really, if you reread everything that Tom Fornelli has in here about Kirk Ferentz, I mean, it's like almost taking Kirk Ferentz's name away and just pasting in Paul Christ. How many players is Wisconsin sending to the NFL every single year? There are so many Badger players that are going. I mean, we just saw 4 Badger players get drafted. Year after year, you're seeing Badger players going to the NFL and having success. I mean, this has been the Wisconsin way for a long time. There are a lot of Wisconsin Badgers that are still playing in the NFL that have been either serviceable or great. It's been going on now for the last couple of decades. And it's something that the university should continue to be proud of. But this notion that Paul Christ is 17th, what a joke. What a joke. Other coaches that are on this list, number 12, Jim Harbaugh. Now, I'm going to say this about Jim Harbaugh. There could be a more fair discussion to debate Jim Harbaugh and Paul Christ as to who's the better coach. Like, you know, one of the arguments is, well, if Michigan was in the Big Ten West, Michigan would probably be the team to beat. And maybe that's the case, but come on now. Paul Chryst and the Wisconsin Badgers have been keeping things pretty even with Michigan. I mean, they did beat Michigan last year, and when they had their undefeated run a couple of years back, they had to beat Michigan in order to keep that going. And yeah, it's very hard to win in the Big House, but Paul Chryst has been right on par with Jim Harbaugh, and Paul Chryst has done more with less when it comes to recruiting. Jim Harbaugh has always had that edge, and I'll say this about Jim Harbaugh. I think he's the most overrated coach in college football. Yes, he has to deal with Penn State and Ohio State, but I think where the standard is and the history that's behind Michigan football, at some point, he's got to do something. Otherwise, they're going to be looking for a new coach. Also on this list, Ryan Day comes in at number 10. James Franklin actually comes ahead of Ryan Day. And you can make an argument either way there because James Franklin has been there longer. But Ryan Day did a phenomenal job keeping that Ohio State team going after Urban Meyer left. And a lot of players even said after the fact that we had a lot more fun playing with Ryan Day compared to Urban Meyer, which I found was very interesting. The top three include Lincoln Riley out of Oklahoma. Number two is Dabo Swinney. And despite having a down year last year, that was pretty funny to see Alabama not the same team. Nick Saban is still number one, according to this group of writers, or Tom Fornelli, or whoever you want to look at. But I'm just floored that Paul Chryst doesn't get more respect for the job he's done at Wisconsin. I mean, to me, it's sad. It's really sad. And we are efforting Tom Fornelli. We're going to try to get him on the show next week so he can weigh in more. There was one other stupid thing I saw about these rankings. Northwestern, led by Pat Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald's done a good job. They had a really bad year last year. And yet, according to this ranking, they have Pat Fitzgerald ahead of Oregon. Oregon just won the Rose Bowl. Oregon is one of the top recruiters in the country right now. I mean, Mario Cristobal has brought that team back to dominance. And yet, according to this, Cristobal is ranked 24th and Pat Fitzgerald's ahead of him at 21st. Unbelievable. What a bunch of crap. What a bunch of crap. I'm sorry. That is some of the worst rankings I've seen in a long time. Coming up next, we're going to stick with college football. Deputy Athletic Director Chris McIntosh was on the Big Show in Milwaukee yesterday, and he had some thoughts about the program and whether or not college football is going to happen. There were some good quotes. You're going to hear from that coming up next on The Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Now, coaches have been front and center in coming together and understanding what the priority really is. And the priority for us is taking care of our student athletes, our staff, and our fans.
That's Chris McIntosh, Deputy Athletic Director for the University of Wisconsin. The Bill Michaels Show continues. Radio Joe Zanzola with you. He was on the Big Show yesterday on our flagship station, 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. Some really good stuff that came out of this. I want you guys to take a listen to this piece of audio, though. This was Chris McIntosh talking about the decision to not allow spring senior student athletes with the opportunity to come back.
Can you tell us what went in the decision made by Barry Alvarez to not grant the spring athletes another year of eligibility after the NCAA said that that would be okay for universities to do?
Yeah, I can. I can elaborate on that. There were really two factors that played into it. The first factor was the overwhelming majority of our student athletes that if it's limited to seniors, that would have had the potential to receive a waiver and have been granted an extra year of eligibility, have now graduated. That decision came down by the NCAA in April, and those athletes were scheduled to were on path to graduate. The vast majority of them now last weekend, and the remainder, the remainder of that class by December. And so that's really the core mission of what we're doing. That is providing educational opportunities The second factor is at a time when we are faced with the most significant challenge of financial uncertainty, facing a fall without football, or even facing an entire academic year without playing sports in Wisconsin, we, Barry, felt that it was not a responsible thing to do to provide an opportunity that we weren't sure we could deliver on. And so we had conversations with our coaches and our coaches with our student athletes, and they were difficult and they were heartbreaking, really, because as any of us who have competed in college, those are some of the best years that can be imagined, and it resulted in difficult conversations with athletes who had their final season taken away from them by COVID-19, and it was a difficult period, but we felt that was the responsible thing to do, and we felt it was responsible to avoid creating a promise that we weren't sure we could deliver on.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. That's Chris McIntosh on the Big Show in Milwaukee, Deputy Athletic Director for the University of Wisconsin, talking about that very topic when it comes to spring senior students not being able to get some extra eligibility. And again, it is the one thing that will always be constant at Wisconsin. It's education first, athletics second, and that's never going to change. That has always been the standard, and it's going to stay that way. There were some more good things that came out of this interview. If we have some time a little bit later, I'd like to share some more of it. But if you want, you can just go to 1057fmthefan.com. Go to the Fan on Demand section, and you can hear that full conversation. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, a part of that interview. Also, Leroy Butler and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer all doing that there. All right. We love doing this on Fridays. It's a Top 5 Friday. We've talked a lot about money the last couple of days. We've seen a lot of bad contracts in this state, whether it's free agents or re-signing players to some dumb money. What I want to know from you guys at 855-830-8648, give me your top five worst contracts in Wisconsin sports history. He's Evan Heffelfinger. I'm Radio Joe. This is The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.